All right, let's take our Bibles this evening, and we're going to begin in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Exodus, chapter 20. And then we'll move around just a little bit, not too much tonight, but I want to speak to you tonight on the Lord's Day. All right, our Constitution says that that we believe that church is important. There is a reason why the Lord Jesus established the church, and one of the major things that that is emphasized in our Constitution is the fact that the Lord's Day is important. And we encourage folks to be here for the services, for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meetings, missions conference, whatever, Bible conference, you know, whatever. We just encourage folks to be here. I remember years ago hearing, I believe it was Dr. Hudson at a SWORD conference, and he was teaching a session to all the pastors, and he taught a whole lesson that on how that your life ought to revolve around the local church. Your life ought to revolve around the local church. A lot of times life revolves around the Little League. Okay? Or the Orioles, you know. And our... well, that didn't take long. But our lives should revolve around the local church. That is where we raise our children. That is where we teach them the things of the Lord. That is where we serve the Lord. That is where we tithe. That is where we get our spiritual food. And so, therefore, our lives should revolve around the local church. All right, now. So tonight I want us to look at the Lord's Day. That is what it is called in the New Testament, the Lord's Day. And I'm going to show you some things tonight that perhaps you've wondered about, or maybe questioned in your mind. Why do we do this? Why does this happen this way? And hopefully can answer some of those issues with you tonight. All right, so if you'll look, please, at chapter 20 of the book of Exodus, and I'm going to start in verse 8. All right, verse 8. And in verse 8, and you already, I'm sure, have looked down, and you know that this 20th chapter contains the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses. He wrote them on tablets of stone with his own hand, with his own finger. God wrote these out and gave them to Moses to deliver to the people. And so in verse 8, we see the fourth commandment. All right, this is number 4 in the 10. And what we see here is beginning in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it, what? Holy. All right, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now look at verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. All right, now I'm emphasizing words here on purpose. So don't think that I've lost my noodle. All right? And reading on, it says, in it thou shalt not do any work. You say, well, I wonder what the Hebrew means there. I think it's pretty clear, don't you? In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. In other words, anything and anybody in your household. No work on the Sabbath. Verse 11. Here's why God established the Sabbath day. Look at verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Period. All right. Now, that's the Sabbath day. Now, let me stop right there, the reading, and let's pray. And then we'll look at some things tonight that I hope will answer some questions for you. All right, let's pray. Father, we ask now your rich blessings to be upon us as we open your eternal word tonight. Thank you so much for the Bible and for what we can learn and what we can glean from Scripture. And Father, we thank you that we have two covenants. We have two testaments. We have the old and we have the new. And both covenants work together. And so, Father, help us to see that tonight. And I just pray that you will bless in a great way what we're about to learn. And we'll thank you and praise you for all your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm sure that all of us are familiar with this commandment, one of the 10 that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, this was given by the Lord on Mount Sinai to Moses, and Moses was then to give it to the children of Israel. And the very hand of God wrote on the stone tablets, two of them, to keep as a synopsis of the law. And we would later learn in the book of Galatians that Paul would teach us that the law is our schoolmaster. All right, it's the schoolmaster. It's the law teaches us and prepares us for eternal things that we need to know. Now, under the law, the Sabbath day was, if you will look at your Bible here, you see that the Sabbath day, where did I see that? I don't have, Brian took my Bible and and but anyway, the Sabbath is a day of rest. Amen. All right, that's what Sabbath means. It means, the word means to rest. And so the Sabbath was established by the Lord. Everybody says, the fourth commandment is the commandment to rest. Well, it is, but it's also the commandment to work. You know, a lot of folks focus on the rest and they don't focus on the work. Yeah. So 6 days we're supposed to work. One day, he said, was the Sabbath, the day of rest. Now, the Sabbath day in verse 10 and also in verse 11, the Sabbath day is Saturday. All right, now let that sink into you. The Sabbath is not Sunday. The Sabbath is the seventh day. And the seventh day is Saturday. All right, everybody, let that sink in. I know it's, you know, it's, I'm going to try and straighten some of this out for us so that we understand what the Lord is showing us in the Old Testament Sabbath and the New Testament, the Lord's Day. There is a difference. There is a difference between them. So in verse 10 and in verse 11, the Sabbath was on Saturday, on the seventh day of the week. Now, don't forget that the Jewish day is different from our day. Don't forget that. It is crucial that you realize this, because if you don't, you're going to get confused when you read your Bible. All right? So the first day of the week is Sunday. All right? And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. All right? The seventh day, Saturday. And then you start over. All right? 7 days in a week. And so the Sabbath is Saturday, the seventh day of the week. So the Jewish day runs from 6 in the evening of the previous day, all right? So like over in Israel right now, over in Israel, of course they're in bed right now, but over in Israel right now, it is Thursday. It's already Thursday. It was Thursday at 6 p.m. an hour and a half ago when we came to church. All right? Think. You got to visualize it. See it in your mind. If you don't, you're going to get confused. All right? So even today, when you go to Israel, it's the same. They see the day as from 6 in the evening, through the evening, through the night, through the morning, to 6 in the evening. 6 to 6. Now, on Thursday at 6 o'clock in the evening, Israel shuts down. Only emergency things are in operation. The military is in operation. They never stop, all right? They're constantly guarding and protecting the nation. But everything else stops. No buses run. You go out in the evening and you'll see hardly any vehicles at all on the streets. It's really kind of eerie. And what they do in all the motels is, now remember, Sabbath means what? Rest, a day of rest. So it starts at 6 on what we would call Thursday, and it goes through the evening and all through the night and the next day till 6, and that's the Sabbath 24-hour day. Now, at 6 o'clock on Thursdays, everything goes into Sabbath mode. All right. You will see all of these little nuances, these little strange things that kick in. And for instance, one thing is this: they have what they call a Sabbath elevator. That Sabbath elevator has a switch that the manager of the motel comes, he shuts all the other elevators down. But there is one elevator that works. Now, if you've got a 24, 25 story hotel and you're on the 25th floor, it takes you a half an hour to get to your room if you go up the elevator. If you don't, you might not get to your room. You might die of a heart attack before you get up there, all right? But the elevator goes on what they refer to as Sabbath elevator, and it's preset. And here's what that means. You get on it when you get on it, when it comes to your floor. All right? You get on it when it comes to your floor. You can't call for it. You just have to wait. And when the door opens, you get in. You can push 17 if you want to. It's not going to take you to 17 and bypass all the other floors. It goes 2. Doors open. And you're thinking, come on. And you hit the button for it to close the doors. It doesn't close. And then finally, the door closes. And you think, all right, here we go. 3. Why? Well, if you had to get on the elevator and push a button, you're working. You're violating the Sabbath. All right, now, you say, where's the logic in that? Don't use logic. No. You can't have butter on the Sabbath. Because the law said you can't have butter. You can't have dairy and meat on the Sabbath. Yeah, so at lunchtime on Thursday, I load my pockets with butter. Yeah, don't tell nobody. Yeah, all they have is margarine. Margarine, which is 2 steps away from plastic. Did y'all know that? Don't eat margarine. It's not good for you. Well, I thought butter was bad for you. That's what the Democrats would like you to believe. No, it's not. It's good for you. It has, it's called butter for a reason. Butyric acid. And that it is good for you. All right? It's good for you. Amen. I'm glad it is. Praise the Lord. I got 2 hands in the air. I love it. All right. So that's the Sabbath. You will remember the Pharisees, they came along in about 560, 570 BC, and they didn't have anything other than do what men do. And that's mess things up. All right? And so here's what they did. They came up with all these addendums to the Sabbath, which was you can only walk so far. Well, what if you walk that distance, but then you look back and you say, how do I get home? I can't walk anymore. You see, you say that there you're using logic. I know. You can't use logic with it. There's nothing logical about it. What it was a day of rest. That's all it was intended to be. Now, so that means, folks, that from 6 to 6 in the evening to the evening on that Thursday, what we call Thursday evening, they call Friday evening. All right? It's Thursday evening to us, but they see it as Friday evening. And it goes till 6 o'clock the next on Friday. And then at 6:01, it is Friday evening. All right? You see what I'm saying? Saturday evening. All right? It's Saturday evening. And so the Sabbath is over, and everything's back to normal. When you get up on Sunday morning, the roads are full again. The cafes are full again. People are walking on the streets. I mean, it's just another day in Israel. Okay? Now, Sunday, however, is the first day of the week. All right, now, let me show you where all this comes from. Go back, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis, chapter 1. Now, you'll remember that in Exodus, the reason that God established this Sabbath for the people, for the Jewish people, for Israel, the reason he did this is because it took 6 days for the Lord to create the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is that in them is. And then the Lord rested. He Sabbathed, and he blessed that day, and he hallowed it, made it a holy day, the Sabbath. All right, now look at Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Now you know this chapter. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Now, watch carefully the next sentence. The last part of verse 5. And the what? Evening. If your Bible says morning, you got a wrong Bible. All right, you good? All right, look at it. And the evening and the what? Morning were the first day. All right, look at me. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So your day goes from 6 through the night to the morning to 6. That's one 24-hour period. That's one day. All right? So when you hear somebody say that they believe in the gap theory, and that in between verses 1 to 5, where the first day was, and before verse 6 started, there were millions of years of evolving going on. And there's that gap in between day 1 and day 2. No, no, no. They're 24-hour days. There is no such thing as a gap in the Bible. None. None. So don't you fall for that foolishness. And the only reason they do it is because they don't want to believe that God created the universe in six literal 24-hour days. They want you to think that we evolved over millions of years, and that in between day one, when God created the universe, and day, look at verse 8. It says, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And so they'll want you to say, to believe that there were millions of years between day one and day two. No, they were six 24-hour literal days. And that is amplified by the fact that God says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And he says that subsequently with all six of the days of creation. All of them say the same thing. After God finished the next day, the Bible says, and the evening and the morning were the first day, or the second day, or the third day, or the sixth day. You see the point? All right, now that is where this whole idea of the Sabbath day started. God took 6 days to create everything, and then on the seventh day, God rested. All right? He rested. And so look at verse 31 of the first chapter. It says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And so on the seventh, God rested. On the seventh, God rested. And so that Saturday, God said, is a day of rest. And that principle is the foundation upon which the Sabbath day was given to the Jews in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, contrary to understanding, there is something obvious about the Sabbath day, which God established way back here in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. And that is this. Do you see anywhere in chapter 1 or in chapter 2 about offering sacrifices? No. No. Do you see anything about having church? No. How about a worship service? How about a song and praise service? How about a healing service? How about a stand on your head and gargle peanut butter service? No. No. You say, well, then what was it all about? All right, look here. Go shock you. You ready? Rest. I know you do. We all do. That's an awesome concept, isn't it? You know, I think we'd all live longer if we'd learned to rest. Probably, you know. Now look at chapter 2. Of Genesis. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the what? Seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he Sabbathed. He rested. He Sabbathed on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had Sabbathed from all his work which God created and made. So that's the foundation, folks. In the third verse here, God blessed the concept of a Sabbath, of a day of rest, from the very beginning of creation. He worked for 6 days to create everything, and then on the seventh day, he rested. But the obvious thing is that the sacred observation of the Sabbath was not given, listen carefully now, the sacred observation of the Sabbath was not given to his chosen people, the Jews, as a commandment to follow for another 2,500 years. So you got the 2,000 years from Adam to Noah. And then you got 500 more from Noah to Moses. And in that time, you've got Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Joshua and the period of the judges. You got all that. Yeah. But then along comes Moses. And God gives Moses the law. And that is what we were reading in the book of Exodus chapter 20. And it is then that God gave the Sabbath as an order, as a commandment. But did he change it? No, it was a day of rest. Rest, you've got to rest. God said everything has to rest. And so over time, after the law was given, about 1,000 years after Moses received the law, 500 years before the Lord Jesus was born, the Pharisees got their filthy mitts on the Sabbath day and did what men do. They messed it up. They made it something that it was not. Okay? I'm going to preach on this Sunday. I'm going to preach on this Sunday morning. So I don't want to give away what I'm going to say. But you know, if we stay within the boundaries of this book, we're in good shape. When you get outside the boundaries of the book, that's where you get into trouble. And so today's modern day Pharisees here in America have decided we're going to get rid of this. We don't want this telling us how to do. We are going to decide what we do. And so they take the Bible and they said, well, you can't have it in government anymore. You can't have it in the military anymore. You can't have it in the classroom anymore. How's that worked out for us? Not well. Not well. And so they've done all they can to get us away from the truth of the Word of God. And so when you get away from the truth of the Word of God, Pharisees come up with all kinds of restrictions. Restrictions. Yeah, we got them now. We got them now. All right? The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. In this list of 10 commandments that I was reading for you there a little while ago, I mean, there's a lot of things that the Lord said, thou shalt not. Now, there's some thou shalts, but there's some thou shalt nots. And isn't it funny that the thou shalt nots are the things that Pharisees, whether they got a D in front of their name or an R or an I or a C, that doesn't stand for Clinton, that stands for communist. All right, you got to throw that in. Or an S or a DS, democratic socialist or demonic socialist, which is it? I'm not sure. But now they come along and say, you can't kill somebody, but it's okay to abort a baby. You can kill a baby. They don't want to call it killing a baby. They want to call it a legal abortion. No, it's killing a baby. It's murder, no matter how you slice it. I mean, you got a heartbeat. You got movement. You got brain waves. Lauren was sucking her thumb from in the womb. But the Pharisees can say, well, you can do this, but you can't do that. Well, now, wait a minute. Who's God? You or the Bible? Which are we going to serve? We're going to serve man? That's what the apostles were dealing with in the book of Acts. You see, the rulers said, don't you preach that gospel anymore. You preach that gospel and we're going to put you in jail. And they just looked at the soldiers and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the rest of the miserable people. And they said, well, whether, we are to obey God or whether we are to obey you, we've talked it over and we're going to obey God. And that ought to be what we do as believers. But that's what Pharisees do. They give restrictions and limitations. And the Sabbath, so far as the Old Testament goes, was a day of rest. 6 days to work, and then on the seventh, you rest. All right, now, 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I got 2 minutes. Hurry. Go over to the book of Acts for just a moment. The book of Acts. And let's turn to chapter 20 of the book of Acts. And I want you to notice here in verse 7. Now, this is the New Testament. This is the book of Acts in the New Testament. Jesus has died on the cross. He was buried. He resurrected. He hung around here for 40 days. And then he walked with the disciples up the Mount of Olives. And he went back to heaven. And he said, you guys, go to the upper room and stay there until you be endued with power from on high. So they did. And then on the day of Pentecost, they were given that power. And we had the we had I don't want to say the start of the church, because I think the church started earlier than that when the Lord sent the disciples out soul winning. But we had the kickoff service, so to speak. All right, so here are the disciples now, and they are baptized by the Holy Spirit, and they're preaching, and folks are getting saved left and right. And so a few years have gone by now, and look at verse 7 of chapter 20. The Bible says, and upon the what? Now, the first day is which day? That's the day after Saturday, the Sabbath. All right? And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Amen. I like that. I think we ought to get back to that. All right. So what do we have here? Well, we have for the New Testament believer, we have the Sabbath done away with. And the next day, the Lord's Day, starts. And for all these centuries now, the church has been gathering on Sunday. Why? Because that's the day that our Lord resurrected from the grave. And the disciples got together on Sunday to celebrate the resurrection. That's why you've heard me say, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Yeah. It's not just Easter, but it's every Sunday. All right. Man, there are so many verses here, but we'll get them next week, all right? It's delivered for our offenses. That's the cross. Romans 4:25. But he was raised again for our justification. So that's why we celebrate the resurrection on Sunday, the Lord's Day, in honor of the resurrection. Does that make sense to you? So if anybody ever asked you, well, does your church observe the Sabbath? No, we observe the Lord's Day. Well, what's that? And there's your opportunity to witness to them right there. Doesn't that make sense? All right. You know, Peter said that we ought to know what we believe, and we ought to know why we believe it, and we ought to be ready to give an answer to every man who asks a reason of the hope that lies within us. Amen. With meekness and fear. Amen. So, now you know. But there's more to the story, and we'll look at it next week. All right. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word, and I pray you'll bless this to our hearts tonight. We thank you for being the great Savior of mankind, thankful for your death on the cross, but we're also thankful for your bodily resurrection from the dead. And Father, I pray that we will just keep in mind the Lord's Day. It's your day. It's holy. You established it as holy. And so I pray you'll help us to have that same attitude towards it. It's the Lord's day. It's not our day. It's not the Little League day. No, it's the Lord's day. So, Father, bless the word to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.